This is St. Louis Public Radio. Michael Brown's death at the hands of a police officer mobilized individuals as well as local and national organizations. Some would say the push for justice for Michael Brown has evolved into a movement. But if the continued pressure for justice is in fact a movement, who is in charge of the effort? St. Louis Public Radio's Emmanuel Berry explores this question.
There are a lot of groups involved in the calls for justice for Michael Brown. To list a few, Millennial Activists United, Lost Voices, the Michael Brown Leadership Coalition, Organization for Black Struggle, the NAACP, the National... I could go on listing groups for the rest of this story, but I'll spare you. All of these entities have issued demands, held press conferences, led protests, rallies, marches, and community meetings. But is there one person or organization in charge?
You would think somebody's in charge, but when you start asking questions, it seems like nobody's in charge.
That's Patricia Bynes, Democratic Committee Woman of Ferguson Township. With so many different organizations, it can be confusing, but she says it's also the movement's strength.
I can assure you they probably have been trying to cut off these protests at every possible way that they can, but it's been extremely difficult because there has been no one leader or no one group.
While no clear leader has emerged over the past 3 months, differences in approach and rhetoric between organizations have. These variations tend to fall along generational lines, something that was pretty clear at a rally in St. Louis this October. Hundreds gathered to hear dozens of people speak, including Cornell William Brooks, president of the NAACP. Audience members were frustrated with the lack of youth voices on stage and what some called passive speeches. People turned their backs on Brooks as he spoke.
I can't say I enjoyed being subject to a standing ovation and being heckled in the same moment. That was new for me.
But Brooks says the youth in the audience were right to demand the chance to speak.
It was an important civic moment because the very first time I was in Ferguson, I heard young people saying, "Tell us what to do." And the last time I was in Ferguson, I heard them say, "Listen to us." It seems to me that we've got to do both.
Ashley Yates of the organization Millennial Activists United is one of the youth voices demanding to be heard. If you ask her who's in charge, she doesn't hesitate.
All of us are. All of the young leaders who stepped up, took it upon themselves to make a stand, to find the way that was right for them in order to make change, to make a difference, didn't stick to the old ways and really kind of, you know, just paved our own path. So all of us are out there leading.
Yates says while knowledge from established organizations is welcome and many have acted as mentors, allowing youth to lead, some have tried to impose their ideas.
And the reality is, you know, a lot of young people, definitely self included, don't want to hear that. We don't want you to come in with that attitude. We're open to your experience, we're open to your wisdom, but you can't impose it on people.
The Reverend Tracy Blackman of Christ the King United Church of Christ doesn't see the tactical differences or mindsets between new and old organizations as a flaw.
I see an older generation that is lacking in vision, and I see a younger generation that is not rooted in history. There's value in both. And when we learn how to connect the two, it would be extremely powerful.
Blackman says while there are different methods, philosophies, and voices involved in this movement, and at times it even feels a bit chaotic, everyone is united because they have the same end goal, changing the way Black lives are treated. I'm Emmanuel Berry, St. Louis Public Radio.